up a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Host Tanzen, Maggie, and me bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and die-hard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 17.12, Exuent Bro, where we are covering the novel Proven Guilty. My name is Tanzen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
179 days.
And our guest, Shayla.
Hello, hello.
Chapter 17. Harry uses his sight on the next victims of the attack, finding them both brutally mauled. Harry makes the call that a phobophage is responsible for the attacks.
Sorry, shouldn't that be like Exuent Bro? If you've got bro in there, don't you have to say it? Stoner surfer guy.
I could.
So because Harry's got an issue around machines, he wants to get this done as fast as possible. So he's already ready to go. Sight's already pulled up. He's going to open up the door and he's going to basically just like rapid flashbang with
the sight. Yeah, right. The peeping Tom flasher thing.
Exactly. Just quick look. Quick.
Just quick.
And before you even get the sight, you get the original picture of her. And she's on her stomach. Her back is covered in bandages because that's where, you know, the sickle went through her back.
Yeah.
Young girl, he thinks, still in her teens. I mean, later teens, but not, but you know, an adult.
That's a baby.
Yeah. And
especially to a 450-year-old wizard.
And just a blank gaze staring out into the world. And, you know, the sight kind of confirms that, yeah, she's gone. She's not coming back.
Yeah, which is pretty awful.
Pretty savage. Like, even worse, under the sight, you can see the injuries and the blood and ooze and ozone just flowing out of her. It's kind of harsh.
Yes, savagely mauled, phantom bruises. Blood and watery fluids oozed from the rest of her torn flesh. Her mouth was set in a continual silent wail.
Yeah, I'm with you, Harry. I would also have to go throw up after that. I don't do well with injury at all.
Yeah, even being the gore fiend that I am, I'd puke after that.
Yeah, that's rough.
Especially, right? Again, when it's us watching a movie, you can be like, special effects. But yeah, if you were like actually confronted with something like that in real life.
It was just corn syrup, right, guys? Red dye and corn syrup, right?
Yeah. Speaking of, she has shockingly red hair that he doesn't think is a dye job.
Main character.
So, damn, girl.
And anime is missing their front runner. So they have this moment with Murphy and Harry, which has come up before too, when Harry sees innocent people becoming the victim, and he's just so infuriated by it. They've got no stake in this game. It's unfair. It shouldn't have happened. And Murphy's always kind of being like, okay, but it did happen. Calm down. And Harry's like, I'm gonna fucking rage.
Oh, this whole scene makes me so annoyed.
Also a point I want to come back to.
So fucking annoyed. Like, he makes a big deal about how he has to remain calm, and the first thing he does is vomit in the rage. Chill the fuck out. Jeez, even Murphy's,
well, exactly.
You need to take a minute. And he's like, no, let's just do this.
And he's done it so many times too now.
He's raging very calmly and quietly right now.
And I get it. It's kind of Jim Butcher. Way.
Got a cue that the radio is like fritzed out. Yeah. Like, God.
Exactly. Oh, you're lucky you got the radio before you got, it's like canary in the coal mine. As long as there's a radio in the room, I'll know if I'm going too far.
Yeah, because every hospital has a clock radio.
Yeah.
Like, never.
Coma patients, it's their number one request every
pretty
time.
Much, yeah. Pretty much have to bring your own sheets and blankets to a hospital if you... That too, and
I get that Jim Butcher is always trying to show, like, this is how good Harry is. He cannot stand the injustice of it. It sends him into such a rage every single time, but I'm with you. But sometimes I'm just like, okay, Harry, this is your job at a certain point. Part of the thing, you know, cops or military, CIA, doctors, special trauma, whatever, like, their training is supposed to be able to see these horrors and buckle down and get through it anyways to do the job.
Yeah, excuse me, until you've ever watched any one of those shows or movies, and you know that the good ones Never build that wall. They stay human. They don't bring out that disassociation and compartmentalization.
I'm so glad you said that. We're going to get to that in a few chapters when he's talking to the FBI agents. I get it here. And Harry's very good at his job. He's able to do both. I can be both compartmentalizing when I need to, and I can have the drama when I need to. And we love you for it, Harry. But I am also a little bit annoyed where I'm like, come on, bro. We don't have time for this shit. Go home and cry about it later.
They just made a special dispensation for you, found you a special route for you to get there. And the first thing you do is go exactly opposite of what you said you weren't
going
to do.
If I was the nurse and I was like, this guy needs 30 seconds to look into a room and make some predictions, and he's going to like turn off the equipment, he's there any longer. And then I'm the nurse and I'm holding that door open, and this guy starts crying and raging. And I'm like, yeah, bro, it's actually my lunch break. Can we fucking hurry this up? I was told this was going to take 2 minutes tops.
Jessica absolutely 100% would be person first.
Let's go!
But secondly, I'm like, this isn't like the crime scene with Rollins. I don't picture her like holding the door open and Harry sticking his head.
I know, but this is straight up right back to Stormfront when he opens up the hotel room and he's looking at, I don't even remember that guy's name, but you know, the heart exploded victims.
Tommy Tom,
right? So hard to remember.
Yeah.
And he was fully, he like had to go and puke there and take a moment. He was so upset. And like way back then, it's like, okay, well, this is a level one wizard. We get it. You're upset. And now we're like, hey, Harry, you're like level 5, 7? Like,
I was just going to say, right, this is book 8. So yes, again, there's still always new traumas and everybody's injuries are different. But like
you say,
it stays
with you. It's in your head. At a certain point, it should start compounding, I would hope. Again, good guys, it doesn't compound. You're always upset about it. But
a little bit. Well, I think that's part of what he tries to get across with the site is unfortunately.
Yes. There is no getting over it.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, it's not sort of so each horrible sight is its own fantastically each horrible sight. But at the same time, yes, right. You would think after the amount of horror and pain and blood and guts and gore that at this point, yeah, exactly. Like, this does not sound
pleasant. A little bit more shoving it down.
Yeah, it doesn't sound pleasant at all, but it also does. Like, in some ways, Mickey Malone's mauling sounded worse than this.
That's what I mean, though. It's like, I don't want to, like, take away from this girl. I'm sorry this happened to you. I'm sure it's horrible. It sucks. At the same time, I'm a little bit like, Harry, surely, like, just being on that boat with the fucking Deidre, I feel like those injuries would be like, almost identical to this in a way. Like, just the aliens
of
Razor. I mean,
it was Francesca that got it, but yeah, Deidre that...
Well, exactly. Yeah,
them.
No, yeah, but yeah. The body of Francesca or whatever. Shit sucks, bro.
Yeah.
Whew, next guy.
I don't know. I mean, yes and no, but I can see a slight difference to just a hacked up body as opposed to, I mean, kind of like we were talking about with Rosie before with all like these little like open mouths. You know what I mean? I'm like, there is a slightly different horror aspect level to the psychological trauma.
Can I just say something though with the little open mouths on her? Yeah. That were her track marks. Yeah. I just imagine Dream Warriors, the third Nightmare on Elm Street. There's a junkie. She's in her dream. And Freddy is hacking her and she's trying to be all tough and everything. And his hands, his clawed glove, turns into heroin needles. And it flashes to her track marks. And they're just these little tiny little mouths. And I don't know what it is about that scene every time. It just grosses me the fuck out.
See, I have not
so
actually
like even
watched, but that sounds
seeing
like
that in the book, I'm like, oh, yep. God.
Right. Not again.
Not again. My trauma.
Butcher's like, you know, it would go really well here. That scene.
Yeah, how old is that movie?
Oh, God. Ancient. Yeah.
The third one?
It came out in the 80s. I know that.
The third one?
Yeah. These are old movies, dear.
Probably even early
90s. I don't know. I just
90s.
Assume like all movies were created, like the original is like old and then every sequel came out in the last 10 years. Like,
it really depends on the franchise. Like Friday the 13th starts out early 80s and goes like well into the 90s. I think Jason X came out in 90 something or even like 2000.
Yeah, those ones, they banged them out. It's like, you know, like Disney sequels to whatever.
Apparently. They're I just like, thought it was more like Star Wars.
Fast and
like,
the
40 years later, let's do it.
Yeah, and like Fast and the Furious, like every year or two, they just put out another one. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's 21st century shit. So Harry drags himself over to Clark Pell's room. And this is a little bit of a different story. He's battered and he's bruised, but this is a guy who has already seen some shit and come back up again, and he's not going to let this take him out either.
Yes, he's a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Has already had to go through lots of trauma.
Which is good to see. It's kind of like the one win we're going to get here in this hospital. The first guy's dead. Rosie's pretty fucked up. She's got that surgical precision, whatever.
Rosie's
something
only
happened.
Moderately fucked up. She has
yeah,
a chance.
Yeah, but under the sight,
yes.
Something's clearly gone wrong.
Something's clearly gone wrong, but she's
physically,
only moderately
she'll be okay,
fucked
but
up.
And then, obviously, that was...
Becton girl.
Yeah, this whatever second girl. She's
the
in a coma.
The catatonic one.
She's never waking up again. Which, and to be fair, like, I get why that would also be a little harsh to see. Like, she's not even dead. But
yes.
She's dead.
Like, can I just say really quickly, I kind of appreciate where Harry's just, I find this thing, I kill it. And it's like, yeah, revenge story.
He's great for the rallying battle cries. He's got a couple of good ones over the book.
I don't believe in fairies.
So, yeah, so it is nice to see, and Clark Pell, not only all of those things, but he's awake and able to have a conversation right now.
Well, he's had a couple days at this point to recover, mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
No. I really appreciate how Harry was questioning Pell. You know Harry wants to get to the point, he wants to figure out exactly what the fuck is going on. But the way he questions him, I felt like a lot of sympathy and reassurance. You're not going to sound fucking crazy. I've heard it all. Nothing's going to shock me. And just being all like, just tell me exactly what happened.
Well, going straight back to that moment in the taxi with Molly and Harry, and Molly's all like, you know, he thinks of something. And Harry's like, yeah, I get it. Supernatural, wizard. I'm in the phone book. Uh-huh. Listen to me, Clark Pell. I'm fully with you. What the fuck did you see? Yeah, I get it. You lied to the cops because you didn't want to sound crazy, but I'm with you, bro.
And that, I feel, was very smart, because how many times do we see, in not just horror movies, but any movie, something absurd and obscure happening where you tell the cops and it's just like, okay, bud, we're gonna give you one of the huggy jackets and put you in the bouncy room for a little bit. Pell owns this movie theater. How many movies do you think he's seen where some crazy out of mind thing happens and somebody's trying to explain it to the cops, and you're just deemed as crazy and you're not believed until the cops, who think you're fucking crazy, then get attacked and murdered, like you see in so many fucking movies.
That get eaten, yeah. You don't believe in me, I will make you believe in me. But only for like 3 seconds, because then I'm biting your head off.
I could see a very good reason for, yeah, why Clark wouldn't want to talk, but he does crumble almost immediately to Harry, and he's like, okay, well.
Again, like, it's just like that reassurance, being all like, hey, I see this shit every fucking day. You're not going to shock me. So Pell's just like, okay, I actually feel safe talking about
this. Yeah, I don't know if I would use the word crumble, because it's not like, he's like, okay, I saw, you know, he's just like, oh, okay, a straight talker kind of a thing, like, fine, whatever. I mean, again,
he sort of outright just tells him what he was going to say out, like, that it was actually...
Yeah, well,
hands.
That's the thing, like, Harry describes him in the first instant, you know, like, gristle and shoe leather, and then under that is more gristle and shoe leather, right? This guy's like, I just don't fuck around. And exactly, like, the fact that he's been through, again, not just physical trauma and hard times in his life, but he's like, yeah, he's also got already some psychological supernatural scars or whatever from shit, as I'm sure, you know, we all do.
Oh, I was just thinking, like, because... This grizzled guy, I did really appreciate, especially after reading how Harry kind of starts to have a tantrum, that this guy who's already, like, beat to shit is, like, whiner.
Like, you don't even have a cast or anything.
You're fine.
I'm here in total traction, and you're the one who's like, oh, it's so hard. But I think in this one, too, like, because it was one of the early attacks kind of a thing, right, and because he wasn't immediately scared, like, the younger girls and stuff like that, yeah, I mean, in some ways, he did just take... A physical.
Yeah, take his lumps, but.
Yeah, he took his lump, but that's the thing is that it wasn't because they're like, oh, he's not as easily scared, cowed, right? So it's like, yeah, we're going to try and scare him this way and stuff like that. You know, the one slightly like saving grace on his part, kind of, because he does.
I don't believe in fairies.
yeah, because he does kind of admit, he's like, it was the one stupid movie that ever did scare me, and it was like a dumb movie. I don't even know why that one, right? But exactly, it was not enough to really be, you know, so they're just like, he was going to, like, pound on you until he, like, you know, and then, again,
fair enough,
right? And, I mean, again, had Nelson not been having a ill-timed or well-timed, depending on how you look at it, moment.
Well, but does, I don't know, Nelson's fear help perpetrate it then? It made it even worse for Peller.
Good question. I don't know, though, because I guess... Nelson doesn't seem to be too traumatized by it.
Nelson wasn't a victim at all.
No, but that's what I mean.
I think
is,
he was more confused at the time, if anything.
Well, yeah, scared like, and oh, confused shit. Of his, there's no one else to blame it on but me kind of a thing, who's going to believe. But yeah, again, I don't know, because I feel like if it was fueling off of that, it would have left some of the psychological scars or whatever, mm-hmm. the psychic scarring or whatever more on him. So I feel like that wasn't necessary.
But then why did it run, though, is what I mean. Like, he was just trying to get away because, you know, Clark was screaming, so he's just trying to get away before the cops could find him. I don't know. I just don't know why the phobophage would have run from Clark right away when he could have just had two more victims and the cop and Nelson. But he was very clearly, I'm going to whack this guy and then I'm going to get out of here.
Well, wasn't it also, I think Tanzan brought it up in an episode or two, like, if it is from the Never Never, they can't hold a physical form for a while, so it could have, like, expended its energy and been like, no, I gotta get the fuck out of here kind of thing.
Yeah, if the thing concentrating on, you know, giving it power or, you know, just didn't have enough power to give it, I suppose I could see why there, it couldn't stick around as long, but...
There is that, because, like I say, I think this is part of what he's in a couple of moments here when he figures out what it is and stuff like that. Again, that's part of where they get their power. So, again, if there wasn't enough fear and stuff coming off of...
Clark
for the kind that they needed, again, it wouldn't help substantiate their form or whatever, right?
Well, and that one's like, see, I really appreciate the phobophage aspect because you, again, more notable, and I do go back to this a lot, but Nightmare on Elm Street, in Freddy versus Jason, Freddy's trying to make his comeback. He's trying to scare enough teenagers so he can start killing again. And there's one specific scene. He pulls somebody, I can't remember whose dream it is, but his like shadow leaps out and like impales a character, but his arm just goes right through him. He's not strong enough yet. Mm-hmm. So he's just like, okay, I'm not quite there. I'm getting there. I'm going to let Jason have a little bit of fun then.
Like every lost deity ever out there that just, people stop believing in me and I lost all my power.
No, whine about it, Jason.
Whine about it, right? Just, I got to.
Well, and the whole opening scene of Freddy versus Jason is this monologue from Freddy being all like, oh, this shitty stuff happened to me. So I started going after these parents' kids in their dreams. But then they all stopped being afraid of me. They learned how to send me away. Well, yeah, they're going to figure that out, dude.
Eventually, like,
oh my God, do you think that's what was happening to me in all my nightmares as a kid? They must be so mad.
But, oh, you go back to it, and just if you, it just matches up perfectly with what Maggie's saying. If there's not that fear, and especially if Clark Pell's getting the shit kicked out of him, he's going to start losing consciousness. He's not going to be feeling much of anything except the pain. So he's not really going to be as scared. And if two cops are about to bust in, Nelson's not fully afraid because he just hears this commotion. He's like, what the fuck is going on? So it's not enough fear to fuel it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to partially mention that exactly, that he doesn't really know what's going on. As far as he knows, it's just two guys getting into a scuffle in the right. So yeah,
oh, yeah,
you have a certain amount of fear, anxiousness that people are fighting, but you're not imagining scary movie monsters. The other bit to that I was going to say is that, again, it could have been part of the whole thing just to create some of this mayhem, to create, right, if I suddenly zap out of here, no one's gonna know what's going on, this kid's gonna get blamed for it, right? So it, you know, whether that was,
that just seems too smart for the phobophage. If it's being fully controlled, then I understand all that background, but the phobophage itself, as we've seen, seems to just be right down to destruction. Pop me in a movie room and I'm gonna hit whatever the fuck I can hit as fast as I can until something.
Yeah, but think about the movie room too, all the lights are out.
I get it, there was even more fear than the back.
There
was, I'm fully
so
okay
much
with that. I'm just saying, I was like, it just seems a little bit too
coincidental,
well, planned or meticulous, then, you know, these things
mindless
otherwise
suck,
will be throughout the rest of the book.
Criminal mastermind. But. Yeah. And it could be, like I say, I'm much more along the lines of agreeing that it just didn't generate enough battery for this thing to continue kind of, but, you know, the possibility there.
Either way, when they get outside, there's burning sunlight and there's the taste of Pell's defiance, and it does a good job of making Harry feel a little bit better about the world again, and
just feel like that would be,
yeah,
I need a coffee now. Get the taste of this dude out of me.
I like that there's this moment where they rehash it together and they go over everything and they're kind of going through their options. It's like, okay, well, Rosie was not the same victim as the others, so maybe it's something different, or maybe there's like multiple things going on here, and Harry's being, stop, Occam's razor.
Yeah.
Just, it's so much easier if we just operate that everything's the same thing right now. And I fully get from Harry being, I'm on like 85 cases right now, please don't make this harder for me. But I also get Murphy on the investigator being like, don't rule out anything until we can rule it out, bro.
Doesn't
like,
fit the MO, so yeah, why?
Yeah.
So. Is there a reason?
It is a good point to make, though.
As part of their planning, too, Murphy's like, okay, so what should we do? We should, like, shut down the convention. This is where all the attacks are happening. And Harry's like, yeah, but it's kind of good that we have one location where all the attacks are happening. If we send everyone home scared, it's going to be 45 different places where all the attacks are happening. We don't know how many phobophages there are. We don't know how many people are working on this. Right now, we at least know where they're attacking. So if we can keep all the fear right here,
control
localized.
Super fair point.
It's fair and it's fucking smart.
And it's also insidiously evil. It's like, because, when I was like, we're going to come back to this. And he loses his shit in Becton's room. She's an innocent. She didn't consent to any of this.
She to the slaughter. He's like, let's just keep him penned in, at least where we know.
Yeah,
like,
and then Murphy's like, okay, well, let's just shut it. Because again, I don't know, most of us. I was having this thought. I'm like, why don't you shut down the convention? Because this seems
It's great and justification for the plot to, like, keep the book going.
Yes, which you need.
But it is also...
Damn, Harry.
But again, yeah, but that's it.
Well, it also makes the point that it will attract more, like, it'll get spread out, and then more of that
canceling
type will
get... Canceling it will create more fear, too, but...
And more of that entity will be attracted.
Nice try and say... Again, it gives you the justification. He's like, well, then it could just pop up anywhere in the city, right? Because he's like, oh, then people...
Especially if you have how many people at this convention who bared witness to the night before, they're probably scared out of their fucking minds now.
Well, and as we see, not only that, but it already generated enough news to attract even more attendees now.
And because now people are just like, I'm sorry, I will just go ahead and say this. As a horror fan, we're just a really fucking different breed. Because I'm sure a normal convention like Comic Expo, oh, a bunch of people got kicked the shit. The shit kicked.
Some died.
Died? No, we're going to avoid that. That sounds dangerous. Horror fans fucking bet.
Oh, wicked, man.
And I get that, right? Like, I can understand to a degree, but I also do find it a little bit that I was like, yeah, you'd think that again, legitimate, like, and I mean, I don't know, beatings are almost worse because you have to live through all that pain and trauma, whereas if you get killed or whatever, it's right, but it's
no, your family just has to deal with that.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? I'm like, it's this half and half where I'm like, I totally
this
get what you're saying.
Temporary.
About, yes, the sort of morbid curiosity of it attracting more people, but at the same time, right? Again, it's like, where's all this, you know, the moms and everything being like, oh, can we shut this shit down? People are dying.
The
government
just
extended it three more days.
But again, it's that morbid curiosity. As a horror fan, I'll be scrolling through social media. This horror movie is so gross and so crazy. Nobody can sit through the whole thing. And I'm sitting there, fucking bet, let's do it. And it's not that bad. I've got to stop doing that with some of the books I read, though, because I did that once and I almost threw up. So one specific author, Erin Bjerregaard, I really got to stop saying bet with your fucking books.
I think the only one that I've I'm just not going to do that one, is the Human Centipede ones. I saw the trailer and I was like, nope.
Yeah. No.
See, and it's funny, I've played back and forth. It's like, do I really want to watch it? But it's one of those things now where it's been around for so long. I've never seen them, but I know enough about them that it's like, I can get away with it.
I think that one would stick in my brain for a while, though.
I think
like, the trailer did, so I was like, no.
The one that would stick in my brain forever would be a Serbian film. I've never watched it. I will never. I wanted to push the envelope on like really edgy, over the top horror movies, and I did just barely scratch the surface because there were some where it's like, nope.
I think I have that one, but I don't remember if I watched that one or not.
There's like baby killing and stuff like that, and I just can't handle that. That's my line. Yeah, there's a line, folks. I do have
there,
one.
There is a line.
It's just way the fuck over there.
So there's a little bit of this nice moment too with Harry and Murphy, where you're taking on too much Harry because he has to go now have lunch with Fix.
No, just
and again, she's all concerned you're taking on too much. And he's like, what the fucking option do I have? There's a lot going on in this life. And, you know, again, that whole Murphy being all concerned about him, being like, just relax, it's okay. But the other part about it is that it's not up to Murphy and Harry. They're both just like, okay, well, then fine. We're going to keep the convention open and we're going to let the weekend go as planned. But I'm like, first of all, the government should also have a say. Like, the mayor or whoever should also, maybe let's not continue this convention where murders are happening and we should figure this out. The FBI is involved. Maybe they want to shut it down. SI's not even officially in charge of just the cops right now that are in charge of it. So it's just for Murphy and Harry to both be like, let's just let this keep happening. And for all these other factions to also just be like, let's just let it keep happening. And they don't even have the justification that Harry has. And I'm just like,
right?
And that's weirder to me. But
yeah,
go have lunch, Harry. It's fine.
Well, that's the thing, is that I mean, again, I've been watching a lot of, you know, cop shows and stuff again, as I usually do, and I'm trying to think, you know, and I'm like, okay, yeah, you see some of these situations where they're like, you guys should shut it down, and the people are like, hey, it's my convention, go fuck yourself, and the police are like, hey, well, we can't make them do it. It's so, I'm like, there might be a little bit of that going on, but like you say, you see enough when they come in and take over operations or that, again, now that like the feds and stuff are, I'm like, I feel like they would have the authorization to
exactly
be like,
she was like, what would happen if this happened at Calgary Expo? And I'd be like, our mayor would immediately tell us all to fuck off and go home. Like,
right?
There's no like
mass
killings. Calgary Horror Con, the guy who runs it down would be like, no, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. But even if he was just like, maybe not, there would be so many horror fans being all like,
but
no,
even like, I could see like, okay, the teenagers, Molly and her friends can't do this. But if this was being run by more, you know, Marcone is a little bit, you know,
haven't seen Marcone in a while.
Right,
he's like, I went in on his horror convention.
But like, I could see, you know, somebody, you know, middle ground being being like, yeah, let's just move it to, like, Undertown, you know? Like, they're not even going to know that we're still doing our convention. It'll be, like, this whole big thing.
It'll be even fun. Better.
It'll be cooler, right? But, like, right? I could see that, and they just change locations, but they're still going to do it their way, and they're not canceling their show. But literally, it's just a bunch of teenagers, and the government's like, well, they already put down their deposit. Like, it would be rude to kick them out. Like, they got to make their sales
What
back.
Are the chances it's going to happen again?
Yeah. What are the chances? It's already happened twice.
Yeah. Where these people just mysteriously got in and mysteriously got out with nobody seeing them. But I'm sure it'll be fine.
A third time is furry.
Let's go arrest all the staff, first of all.
Actually, no. A great example of this, too. Jaws.
Yeah, shut down the beach, people. What is wrong with you?
A kid. It takes, like, a kid getting attacked on, what, the 4th fucking July?
Or international waters. We can't stop people from swimming. There is no government
in charge
of it.
But the mayor's just like, it's fine. It's fine. It was, like, 2 people. It's never going to happen again. We caught the shark. We're good.
90% of our revenue off of, like, this tourist season. And if people aren't at the beach buying ice cream, we are fucked, folks. So
but
don't
like
shut down the beach.
99.9% of bodies of water in Canada.
Okay, I was like, wait.
Come with signs that say this is unpatrolled, no lifeguards, you're on your own, do your own shit, whatever.
Yeah.
However, the second we start having, like, shark attacks, it's, like, we have warnings up that are, you're not, like, don't, we recommend don't fucking touch the water until, like, July, people, because it's too cold even in June. Like, stay the fuck away from shit. Like,
or the mayor will make fun of you.
But yeah, we have all the, this water's not safe to swim in. This was like right next to a storm drain, people. Don't just risk it.
But yeah, Jaws is like, hey, free world, free country. You know, that movie's clearly in America. And I'm pretty sure, well, I'm not pretty sure. I know for a fact. I just don't know the number. But like 20 miles off the coast is still that country's land or whatever the fuck it is.
Not international waters.
Exactly.
National
waters. National waters for like a certain amount of distance. Nautical miles. I don't know what the fuck it is.
Leagues. How many leagues are there?
It's our beach, motherfucker. We can tell you to get off the fucking beach if we want to.
Or I even talked about this like a few episodes ago when we were talking about like the dad that moves everybody into a haunted house.
Yeah.
Will not believe shit is happening. No, the walls are not bleeding. No, it's not too cold. Put on a sweater. Don't you touch my fucking thermos.
Do you even know the price I got on this house on the market? It's crazy. We're living here.
We can't afford to just move again.
Yeah. I can put DIY this shit, guys. Come on.
Our investments into rebuilding this house.
Yeah.
You learn to live with the ghost.
That's always such a trope. It's just like, no, it's fine. It's fine. That's not happening. It's not going to happen again. It was a one. Okay. It was 2 off. It's fine.
I know 3 of my children are dead now, but you don't understand, okay? The market's really bad right now.
But see, in a certain kind of fairness, it would almost take that. Because, again, as any parent knows, your kids try to kill themselves on a regular basis. Okay, and I didn't
up.
My kid threw herself off a deck with a tricycle. I'm like, oh no, there's a bit of a bump. Okay, we'll get this one checked. You know, I was like, I wasn't like, we're picking up and moving. You know what I mean?
My youngest.
And that's why there's so many things wrong with me and my sister.
But again,
ghosts were regularly sucking us off of porches, and mom is like, yeah, deal with it.
You never proved it. Never did it come out. I was like, okay, now we got
I was like 23 the first time I went to a doctor. And they were like, there's actually so many things wrong with you. And I was like, I know.
You're like basically a Gen X.
That's the hardcore.
Like, not even joking. The doctor looked up my medical history and he's like, yeah, I've got things from 1997 when you were born, and then that's it. That's the end of the file. And I was like, I know, bro.
Okay, in all fairness, I did take you to the doctor other times. Maybe all these walk-in clinics, I don't know. They just, I was like, there were times you went to the doctor, okay? I know that.
Yes, but family doctor throughout the entire childhood.
I get what you mean, Maggie, with like, kids are going to be kids. Like, my youngest.
They're bouncy, it's fine.
Exactly.
He will run full tilt in our basement on the couches and just do a lap
a circuit
over
around.
And over. Do you know how many times my youngest has fallen off the couch and onto the floor? He's bashed his head off a coffee table because he is screwing around when I have told him not to. And of course, this is not the kid who it's like, oh, I did this once. I don't want that to happen again. I'm done. It's like, no, hold my beer. Watch this. We're going again. And it's just,
you know,
constant.
I could possibly go flying off the slippery couch cushion the way I did last time. That was a one-off. I'll be fine.
But my oldest,
my oldest was one
and done. He touched a hot stove, burnt the shit out of his hand, never did it again. He fell off the couch and smashed his face into a coffee table, never did it again. But again, kids are just going to get injured. It's what happens. It's not, oh, you fell off the couch. Well, go.
No more couches.
Right. I still just don't like that Dresden is taking away all their autonomy in this. This isn't fair, but I am now going to take away all their kids. We're gonna lay these people out for bait, but don't tell. Like, you know, my dad, you're not even closing the beach. You're not even, like, putting up a sign in the convention or any, you know what I mean?
I'm
like,
how
what kind of sign would you put in the convention? Caution, random movie characters are going to kick the shit out of you.
Watch out for cosplayers. No. But still, it is. It's funny for Harry just being just like,
VIP package.
Yes, though, it's very concerning that his whole plan is, I'm going to
protect
stop
the innocents. By the way, I'm going to use this whole convention of innocence to lure
I'm
going to
save them. However,
guy.
A couple more are going to need to die
again,
before I
heard. We're only going to, it's like the numbers. We're only going to lose a couple, right?
10% of losses, okay? You always account for 10%
That's how we work it in Cubs.
Exactly.
My face hurts.
We came back with most of the kids.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us to do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at www.patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 18. Harry and Thomas talk a bit before Thomas moves out of the apartment.
Wow. How bare bones is that?
Good.
My summary has been very, succinct lately.
Harry and Thomas talk for a minute and then he leaves forever.
I don't know. I don't know what's with this book. I'm just like, oh, my summaries are going to be...
Stop.
Murphy decides, or by his request, he's like, let me out a couple blocks so I can walk the dog on the way there. Which, okay, more power to you, bro. I would have just let the dog out in the yard.
He doesn't have a yard?
Well, he has a little patch of corner yard. He doesn't have, like, a
okay, but it
yard.
Sounds like Mouse is a big fucking dog.
Yeah, Harry's a more responsible dog owner than my mom is.
in some instances. I have never taken my dog into, like, obviously dangerous, deadly situations.
Well, fair enough.
Okay, I leave him home for those.
Both Harry and Mouse seem like the kind where he could just open the door and just be like mister. Just be like, go live your life. Go take yourself on a walk and come home when you're ready.
Totally. Exactly, right? He can totally. Mouse is well-trained enough that he can go out to the yard and do his business without needing a fence around his yard. 100%. But yeah.
Yes, we rehashed
like,
that.
Okay, we'll walk his stupidly long legs.
In order for Harry to get into his home, he must shove all the weight of the world against his door because the Reds have attacked. And then, you know, goes back over that again and be like, remember, guys, we're still in the middle of a war. Don't forget. We started it 5 books ago, and I don't want you guys to forget. We're not talking about it this book, but don't forget.
That part really had nothing to do with the war. That was more last book.
No, it's because the pizza delivery guy came and blew up his door with a bomb, and then he got, like, invaded by zombies.
Oh,
and,
well,
like,
yeah, but that's why it's out of whack now, I thought,
well, yeah,
was just because of the...
I think it's just everything on top of each other. He has to have all these wards on his door because pizza delivery vampires keep showing up.
I didn't order this with cherry bombs.
I said no cherry bombs, damn it.
Yeah, finally.
I said nitro. I know that's
a wallop of a first bite.
That tastes like C4 to you.
And then he comes in the door to Thomas with the sawed-off shotgun in his face. Okay, but Thomas, this is how he always gets in the door. If they're getting in the door with the wards, surely you don't need to also be there standing guard.
Okay, like, in 5 minutes, you're going to hoist an army footlocker onto your shoulder like it's nothing. Your super senses can't tell you this is Harry at the door.
Oh, I recognize the way he pounds it in every time. I can smell him.
I can hear his heartbeat. I don't know. Whatever.
Thomas actually thinks it's funny to point a gun at him.
Thomas is pretty...
Okay, get it. He's like, it sounds like an assault every time you come in. Obviously, then this isn't the first time you
That's what I mean, though, is that he should, A, just be used to how anyone could get in the door, but also, B, if the wards are up, the wards will do the job for you, bro.
I was gonna say, if he's getting through this door, yeah, your shotgun is really gonna... I would be the one who would get me, because prior to this recording, you know, Jessica accidentally set on the fire detector at home. Does she just take precautions for... No, she just, like, unplugs the fire detector. She's gonna die in a horrible fire now. Same thing, you know? I'd be like, oh, that's just the kid coming home again. I would totally ignore the fact that somebody is breaking down my door to get in until it was too late. I would just be like, after the second time, I'm like, oh my God, I'm not running all the way up there to, like, undo the deadbolt. No, it's just whatever. If they get in, they get in.
Mistakes by complacency.
Yeah, right.
Well, to be fair, we were the family that did not lock our door for, like, 20 years.
Okay, and you know what? It had its point, because your friends would just come and go all the time, and sometimes that was a good thing.
I agree with you. No one was interrupted. No one ever had to go get the door.
There's a lot of shock value just walking into the house, though.
Whoa!
I know, but well, not Harry's door, though, is a friend, you know?
Yeah, except for me, at least. I have friends. Jess has been one of them. I just leave my door open. Mostly because I also have a psycho cat that if you knock on the door or ring the doorbell, he is there. Don't get me wrong, he runs up if you just walk into the door.
But at least you get a head start on him.
You get a head start.
But like, he's not already there giving you the judgment glare when you open the door.
Oh, it's not judgment on his tiny furry face. It's death. Actually, there's worse cats out there. But anyway, I wouldn't want somebody just walking into my house. If it's middle of summer, I have the door open. If somebody just walks in and I'm not expecting someone, it's like, who the fuck is in my house?
Oh, of course, of course. Then it's World War III. I understand that. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Totally select
Thomas
you.
Here should be a little bit less aggressive about that because it just, I don't know. I don't
Could
know,
we also, because they're also brothers, too. They're half brothers, right? From my understanding.
Yeah, they share a mama.
It could just honestly be some form of sibling rivalry. Like,
no, I love that, too. Thomas, any excuse to point a shotgun in Harry's face is a good day.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
I'm still with that one. I think he's just been like, ha, ha, ha.
Fuck you, Harry.
You startled me with a door,
then
so I'm going to stick a shotgun.
Uses a really bad excuse for explaining it.
So Harry notices kind of right away that Thomas seems to be packed up. His shit's in duffel bags. It's all by the door. He's dressed to go.
With no notice.
Tenzin's notes. He's ready to leave with no notice.
Justin's like, excuse me, you have to give me at least 30 days before you stop sleeping on my couch.
I just,
bringing women into my bed.
He wasn't even gonna have a conversation. He left them a note on the fireplace.
I get it. No, no, no. It is stupid and harsh. I also kind of take that as like such a boy thing.
Like, such a boy. Well, he's also like, Harry's busy now. He's obviously in the middle of, I'm not going to bother him with this.
Like, I'm going to sneak out in the middle of the night. It's weird.
Do you know who else does that? Girls.
See, if it's the middle of the day. In the middle of the day, night,
but you know
whatever,
what? I say how badly that pisses
anything,
me off.
I don't care about you. I will Irish exit all the way.
No, I say how bad that pisses me off. My sister's actively leaving the city in the next 24 hours and has made 0 point to come and say bye to me or anything. Her birthday's in 2 days. She doesn't give a shit about seeing me or anything. She just wants to leave. And I'm just like, I keep asking. I'm like, are you gone yet? Are you gone yet? Are you gone yet? She's like, no, no, no. All right, there's clearly no intention that you need me or want to say bye, but I'm also kind of offended. I've got zero idea that, okay, bye.
I know. All right, because she was saying, because I was like, oh yeah, your birthday, you don't like take off before your birthday? She's like, yeah, probably. I'm like, all right, fine. You didn't want to celebrate it anyways.
Thanks.
I do like his all one little siege and you're paranoid. And he's like, I didn't know he's going to be starring in my own zombie film. And Dresden Klaus is like, star. You were like a spear carrier of that. Maybe.
Were a background character.
Even though you were not imminently, what's the word? Integrally imminent, crucial to the, crucial to their like escaping and getting out of that situation. But
at least he's not a red shirt.
Yeah, but
not yet.
In this.
He's a no
in
shirt. This,
Okay. Tanzin. Yes. Thomas paid us 30 days rent, okay? He's left some money in the envelope, okay?
As it turns out.
It wasn't about the money.
It was about our brotherly bond.
Okay, and I'm going to say right here, this is like one of the differences between me and Tanzin. All right, I'll take the money. She's like, no, man, I just care that you didn't give me adequate notice. I'm like, that's fine with me.
I want both.
I am so right here with all of Harry's emotions. Childishly excited that I get my apartment back to myself. A little bit sad that he's not going to be around because he's like now my own, other than a few random memories of my dad, you know, from when I was sick, right? So I'm like, yeah, I get it on like so many levels, you know?
But I do think he handles it very well.
Like,
I
they think both handle it great. Yeah. And I also understand the whole taking care of Thomas's pride, too.
Right. Yeah. Yes. That he actually does acknowledge that is it. Yes.
Yeah. After he stomps all the, whoa, you actually got a job you could keep?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Dude, okay.
Oh, no, I'm actually super proud of you. Way to go. Yeah, I feel you there, Thomas.
But, like, I understand, you know, if I had to sleep on my younger sibling's couch for a year or two and be reliant on them for everything, and then they were giving me this judgmental, like, oh, can you make it on your own? Like, I'd have been beating the shit out of my younger sibling immediately, first of all.
Well,
like,
and especially how Harry is really always so sarcastic with everybody and likes to jab fun at every circumstance. The fact that he only makes fun of a couple of things, like, yeah, 80 to 90 hours a week.
Well, that's not even making fun of. That's like concern. Like,
I feel like he's like, you're never here anymore. Yeah, so like, if you're working, weird. Apparently you're putting in like 90-hour weeks for the amount of time you've been spending here and that I've seen you in the last like.
Well, didn't we see him a few chapters ago heading out to the gym too? So it's either it seems he's at work.
Supposedly.
Allegedly,
he was going to the gym. I don't know, but yeah, exactly.
Another mysterious foot.
Well, yeah, and then there's this kind of, you know, nice moment where Harry's. Okay, but listen, if you're seriously not ready for it, I'm not kicking you out. Like, you can stay. And Thomas is like, okay, but it's time that I move on. And also, you work with the council now. They could come over at any single time. We've been lucky that they haven't. And honestly, that is pretty fair. Like,
that is totally
fair. Like, it is going to be really awkward for Harry.
And Harry's
to be like,
it's okay. I don't mind. I'll tell him to fuck off. And he's like, bro. First of all, that's hilarious that you think you can tell the council to fuck off. But honestly, like, I don't know, maybe I don't want to be here when they show up.
Yeah, exactly. And I get it. Like, yeah, okay.
It's not all about you, Harry.
Your loyalty gets so admirable.
Treat me like I'm a little ignorant here, because I probably am. Council's got something against vampires, I'm assuming?
So well, Harry started a war with all the vampires. Mostly just the Red Court.
Okay, but she doesn't... Well, she might not know that.
The Red Court, I kind of gathered, was
okay,
vampires.
So quick breakdown for our newbie here. The White Council is the wizarding governing body.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you have enough magical power, you're part of it. And then, yes, there's the Black Court, which are your stake 'em through the heart.
Bram Stoker vampires.
There's the Red Court, who can turn into bat-like creatures. They just have a flesh mask.
They like to seduce, but...
Sometimes, I mean...
Sort of. Yeah, they're kind
they're
of like
still
a
the
hybrid,
bloodsuckers.
But they look like a rubbery sort of bat thing. Their thing peels away.
So. Yeah.
So they don't burst into the flames. It just shows kind of like...
Yes, no, they
are
can do that
always
too.
Underneath.
So the reds and the blacks are a bit of a switch because, I mean, I guess sort of the blacks...
are like the corpses.
The blacks are like the corpses. And they doesn't necessarily specify them drinking blood per se. It's more like they rip... rip out your throat and stuff like that. Like, I don't think they get the fangs and the things, right? But they're super strength, super creepy, just rotting corpses, and can just kill you and...
Where the garlic and the holy water work with them.
Yeah. Some of that still works, but the reds are more like your blood-sucking vampires, where, again, they turn into like these bat... Like, they've got the fangs. They're sort of... seducey, whatever, because of course they're all going to make themselves.
Okay, I think I've got a good correlation. Red Court, Vlad the Impaler, Dracula kind of style, turn into a bat. With Black Court, it's more like Nosferatu, Count Orlok kind of thing.
Yeah.
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 Cool.
And then the whites are just the psychic vampires.
They're so incubi. Vlad the Impaler,
they're
Vlad
just
Tepes
incubi, really.
Succubi like, and incubi. What?
Sorry?
You said I thought Vlad the Impaler was Vlad Tepes was Dracula.
No, because they're like dad and son.
Oh, is that the difference?
I thought that was part of the difference between like Dracula and Vlad the Impaler.
Vlad the Impaler was the inspiration for Dracula because it's said that he drank blood, he lived in a castle, he would impale his enemies. It's all the lore of the bats for that. It's he had this high-pitched whistle that could summon them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
he would just
walk. I thought they were the same guy, but anyways.
Maybe they are. I don't know. Maybe I'm taking that from some other lore thing where there's like
I don't
Dracula
and
Dracula.
In this universe, technically,
son of Dracula.
The Black Court is like the White Council released Bram Stoker's Dracula to
as a way to kill them and help them.
This is how you kill the Black Court vampires.
Okay, so again, that's why it makes sense.
But
they're the Van Helsings, kind of.
Yeah.
Almost. Okay. Wannabes. They
the
wish
wannabes.
They were
back cool. Got it.
only when they're being bad.
Yeah. So the Reds...
if they're behaving themselves, they don't give a shit.
My point
Sorry,
is,
but
is
the
that
only version of Bram
essentially
Stoker,
wizards versus vampires now.
But the only Bram Stoker Dracula adaptation in any sense I'm going to accept right now is Gary Oldman.
Yes. Of course.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I was obsessed with that movie for so long.
Well, you've got Keanu Reeves and Gary Oldman and Winona Ryder. Got some beautiful ass people. Winona and Keanu think they're still married to each other because of that movie. Yeah.
They did have a real priest actually perform a ceremony. So,
nice.
So they,
I don't know.
That's why neither
watched...
of them have never actually wedded because they fully believe that they're married to each other. Ah. They still see other people. They've had other relationships. They just won't get married because they think that that's breaking their marital vow.
That's funny.
To
I didn't
other.
Know that part.
Oh, really? Yeah.
That's crazy. I saw
but it was
Kate
a Catholic
Beckinsale sale in Van Helsing.
Divorce is incredibly frowned upon, and because they don't actually know, they just never did anything.
And insult to injury, they're drinking Mac's beer cold. Wow. Better not tell Mac. So, yeah.
Bye, Thomas. It was nice knowing you. Go have fun with your secret life.
Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I did think it was this book that we figured out what a secret life was.
Nope.
And yeah, no, I read the whole thing and I was like, oh my God, is it seriously not until next book? Fuck,
it's
Thomas.
Next book.
And like, thank God that I know what it is because the suspense, I mean, this is probably, you know,
suspense
back when I did
will
it
kill
the first
me.
Time. But yeah, I'm just like, I just remember this book being, ah, so annoying. I hate you, Jim Butcher. I mean, open up all these doors and wait forever to close them.
Right? Well, he's just not in it much because he's like, oh, you need some help? And Harry's like, nah, I got it. It's fine. He's like,
which is crazy
right,
because, yeah,
out.
You come off the short stories where Thomas was just there the whole time. He's like, I don't think you got it, bro. I'm here for you. And then you've got this book immediately.
Yeah, I guess there's quite a bit of a shift there.
Yeah. But even in the last book, right, because he needed Thomas so much.
Thomas is just at that point of like, hey, you know what? All this time I was like, you need help? You're like, I don't need help. I don't need help. I don't need. And you totally needed my help. And now I'm just over it. So now I'm like, okay, you don't need. Okay, fine. I'm out of here. I'm not buying into your bullshit anymore. I'm not playing this game. I'm not going to be like, oh, you say no.
And I really
but
like
really
the shotgun,
want
so it's mine.
But yeah, keeps the shotgun until I can get my own place. I'm like, how hard is that, dude? Ask
no,
your
because he's going to visit. Because Harry's going to visit. He's going to stick the gun in his face again.
All time sake.
It's really hard. Because he's still fighting with his sister, too. That's the problem. She's not just going to give him
a sawed-off
it's
shotgun.
It's a family shotgun. Yeah. Good for all.
He is, you know, out on his own and making his own way, except for, like, the illegal weapons he's borrowing. Okay?
We're so proud, Thomas.
I can't go to my sister, but I can take Harry's. It's their new bonding. How about the fact that Harry jinxes it all again by saying, no, it's no problem. It'll be done in a day.
This concludes our episode 17.12, Exeunt Bro. Thank you for listening.
See, more like Teenage Girl. Exeunt Bro.
Oh, that one. That was too Valley
Girl.
Oh,
that would be so bad.
So fetch.
Exeunt Bro. Can you stop trying to make fetch happen?
Shit.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Yada, yada, yada. We're done here.
You've heard it all before.